Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sing it with us, everybody. Here we go! Look, 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 ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, put your hands together for Paul Charchi and from KFan in Minneapolis, GuillotineLeagues.com, and the proud owner of a Jayco 486 tow behind camper. Did I get the number right? It's a Jayco what?
I didn't end up going with Jayco after all. I thought I was going to going with the Jayco. But that's, you know,
what'd you get?
You shop around. It's kind of a niche one called an Ibex. You know, Ibex. Is Ibex, yeah. So I don't know, whatever. I don't know much about that stuff.
All right, good. But you gotta take it for any winter camping in the depths.
I already did. You know, we were out 2 weeks ago.
Hold on. I already did, says Charch, on November 1st. How could you have taken it already on winter camping? Oh, that's right. You live in Minnesota.
Correct. Where October is winter. Our lows were in the mid-20s while we were out 2 weeks ago. So, we already got to test it in near Arctic conditions.
Okay, Charge. You know, being a child of Minnesota, 20 degrees is called shirt sleeve weather up there.
That is true.
I'm talking, are you going to take this thing camping in minus 10? That's what I want to know.
I might. Don't tell me. You got to winterize it. You got to flush all the lines with antifreeze and stuff. And so you can't just like snap your fingers and undo that. So you can't just be like, oh, hey, it's a nice day in March. I'm going to go take this thing out. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Topic number one today.
Yes.
Blissfully unaware. This email from one Tim O'Connor, a.k.a. TikTok. He says, Zabe, catching up on some casts last week on a beautiful October Saturday, and I got to say, that Charch is one eclectic cat. He knows Joyce Brothers better than her own mother did. And whoever that Hedy Lamarr chick was that he went on for about 20 minutes a few months ago. However, yes, he did not know Meghan Trainor. No, and if you recall, like 2 years ago when Dua Lipa was blowing up the charts, he'd never heard of her. Like, come on, bruh. You're shitting me. That's impossible. Taylor Swift, Beyonce. What else does Church not know about? Sincerely, TikTok.
Yeah. Look, there are big, massive, gaping areas of pop culture that I don't know. And music is like right in there. You do an amazing job, for especially for a man of your advanced age, of following young singers, young pop stars. It's just not in my wheelhouse, and I don't know who they are. No idea.
Keeping up with the kids. You got to try to keep up with the kids, see what they're following, see what they're into these days. It's partly why I'm on TikTok. I mean, that's where the kids are. They're on TikTok. Sure. Is it a Chinese security risk? Of course. Do they yes, have all my biometric information and my bank accounts? Yeah, they do. But I'd rather the Chinese have them than my own government. Wait, what? Did you just say that? Oh, here we go, Zabe. All right, just kidding. So I was thinking about things that I am blissfully unaware of.
Oh, right.
Because we all have certain blind spots.
Correct.
And I'm a generalist, you know, being a talk radio host. I'm a generalist, like a doctor that's your first family doctor. He knows a little bit about everything, or she mm-hmm. knows a little bit about everything, but is not a specialist. They'll refer to you a specialist if you need one. What am I blissfully unaware of? I would say the rap game I'm blissfully unaware of, because I just heard that Takeoff had been murdered. And it's a big deal. And people like Jemele Hill, remember her charge from ESPN fame?
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
She claimed in her tweet that Takeoff being murdered at a bowling alley in Houston as a member of the Migos, a big rap act, that this is akin to living through Tupac being murdered in her lifetime.
Is it that big?
That's what she says. Now, I got to be honest. I don't believe fucking Jemele Hill is out rolling around on 20s, blaring out her rap music. Like, yeah, Migos, what's up? I believe that that's not, you know, she's doing it to look like she's down for the cause. But I may be wrong. I'll talk to Jay about that tomorrow. Blissfully unaware of the whole rap game, who's big, who's not, and everything else.
Me too. It's just that style of music doesn't do much for me. Just like, I don't know, country music doesn't do much for me. So I just don't follow it that closely. What I want to know is, can you get to the top of the rap game with your name, the name on your birth certificate?
Ooh, or
do you need to be Scarface, DMX, the Big Pun, or just Big Pun? Do you have to be Pimp C, or can you just be Steve Zabin?
That's a great question. My second question on the topic list, and it ties into the first one, is it a feature or is it a bug? This is a great phrase. Have you ever heard it before?
It's been thrown at me several times, yes.
Well, you being in programming, you being a computer guy, this is something you know. When I first learned of it, I was like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. Where you see something that's annoying, it's set up a certain way, and you're like, God damn it, why is it set up this way? This is a bug that needs to be fixed. And then somebody says, no, that's a feature. That's how they want it to be. They want something to be extra frustrating. So on the rap game, is rappers getting murdered brutally a feature?
This is so dark.
Or a bug. I say this with the utmost sincerity, sympathy, and curiosity, Church. I don't know, because if this was truly a bug, you would think there would have been big rapper summits and big media sort of, like, you hear about it, like, hey, man, this is bullshit. We got to stop murdering each other. You know, Takeoff was great with Migos, and so-and-so's great. Like, why are we killing each other? You know, we got a beef. Let's settle it some other way. I must have missed those high-level town hall meetings, because it doesn't seem like there's any great incentive to squash this. So I'm thinking maybe it's a feature. Maybe, unfortunately, rappers have to run the risk of getting murdered to have the true credibility to sell records. I'll hang up and listen to your answer off the air. I don't know.
Was it
blissfully unaware?
Look, I can tell you this much. My Deadpool, you know, I'm in a Deadpool.
That's some sick shit, you bastard. You a sesh, can I get in?
Sick.
I want in.
That's
did
right.
Somebody clean up on Queen Elizabeth or not?
No, because she was too old.
Too old,
you
right.
You get points equal to 100 minus the age. And she was roughly 100. So it was like a 0 point event. So, you know, there was no reason to do it. And that's why rap stars are all over this thing. Because if you can get past like your 30s, then you can just coast into your posh retirement, like yeah. Ice Cube, right?
Right.
Chuck D, you know, those guys, you know, once you get to that age, but it's, can you get through your 20s and 30s in one piece? So we've got there. I don't know that getting killed in some like East versus West gang thing, you know, necessarily validates you as a rap star.
As long as it's not you who dies, then it's good for you. Then there's some danger in the rap game. Otherwise, it's just another genre of music competing in a sea of music.
Right.
Like there's no other genre that has artists murdered.
That's a great point, actually.
Not even murdered
sculptors,
often.
Like great sculptors.
No.
Great ballerinas. You're only considered great when you get murdered.
If somebody in Beyonce's crew rolled up and popped a cap into Taylor Swift, then they'd be like, holy fuck. Right? And that's dark. But that's what I'm sort of wrestling with, and I don't quite know.
That is a good question for Feature versus Bug. Maybe Jay knows enough that he can help us with this. Yeah. We're just two middle-aged white guys trying to figure it out. The Feature Bug thing was thrown at me recently when I was complaining, and this is very old man, so I think you'll appreciate this, Abe. I was complaining that a concert that I went to was so loud that it required earplugs for everybody. Whole audience is in earplugs because you don't want to go deaf because it's so loud. And then once you put the earplugs in, now everything's all muddy, right? It's all distorted and it's, you know,
right.
You can't hear everything crisp and cleanly.
Right.
Then so I'm complaining about this and then people are throwing that at me. You know, the loudness at the concert is a feature, not a bug. But I think I think there's a point at which it's too loud.
I think they want the force of the music to reach the far corners of the event hall, no matter how big it is or how small.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're anywhere close to the stage, it's going to be too loud for you, I think. But they must make concert earplugs that are specifically tuned to help replicate the most fidelity of the music while turning down the overall volume to protect your ears. They must.
I you would think, but I have tried no less than 6-7 different earplugs, including kinds that will plug most of the ear, but have got a tiny little canal that runs through the middle that stays open.
Do they have any electronics in them to try to fill?
Okay, never, see,
well then
I've never seen that.
Let's invent that.
Oh,
let's
don't
invent
tempt me.
That. I mean, because look, these AirPods now have so much. They've got chips in each pod. They're that sophisticated to do all kinds of stuff to process sound and everything else. Mm. That's what we should have. Now, is there enough of a market for it? Probably not, because drunken kids in their, you know, teens and 20s, they don't give a shit about their hearing. They're like, that's a problem for future me. And I don't even care about that right now. The other thing about music being loud, I used to think that loud music in bars and whatnot was a bug. It's a feature. You know what the feature is of loud music in bars?
I can't hear you. I can't talk.
Nope. What's the feature of it, Charge? In a bar of loud music. A bar with guys and girls. Come on.
I don't know. It annoys the hell out of me.
It brings you closer.
Oh, we have to yell at it right into each other's faces.
It not in your face, but you have to lean in to the man or the woman that you may or may not be bringing home that night. It brings you closer. That's what bars are for. It's for bringing people together. Now, if you're out with a bunch of dudes who are married and you're not trying to hook up, then it's a pain in the ass.
It is. I'm like, If I'm going to the bar to see the band, like that's, you know, it is first a concert hall, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to hear the band. But if it's just a typical bar and there's some, you know, high school grade group playing in the corner, turn that crap down because I'm there to talk. I want to watch sports. I want to be with my friends. I don't want to hear your crappy rendition of Rush.
I hear you. The acronym for it, according to Wired, in a BIAF. It's not a feature. It's not a bug. It's a feature. In a BIAF. It's an in a BIAF, according to Wired magazine. Big story called "It's not a bug. It's a feature." Trite or just right, and they argue whether or not the phrase is trite or if it's actually an appropriate expression. So we move on. Topic number three. Got kicker. Sort of like the Got Milk campaign, where they just basically hit you right between the eyes. You got milk, and they got a delicious milk mustache. I want to ask you, Charge, with your Vikings sitting at 6-1, but with a wobbly kicker. Got kicker?
No, I ain't got kicker. And here's why. I got a kicker. And good kickers are usually kicking in like the 88 percentile range, like 88, 89, 90% of their field goals are makes. You know, that's where you are on kind of your just average good kicker. That's Graham Gano is a 90% kicker today. Nick Folk is a 88% kicker. The Vikings kicker is 64% on his field goals.
Debbie Greg Joseph, the current kicker for the Vikings.
He has missed the most extra points in the league. He's missed 3 extra points, and he's missed 6 straight kicks over 50 yards. And 50 over 50 isn't what it used to be, Zabe. Now over 50, it's just a chip shot now. The expectation is going to make the over 50.
It's not a chip shot, but it's a kick that pro kickers are expected to make.
Absolutely.
50 to 55 is a, yeah, kick it. We know you got the leg.
Yes. So the Vikings, you know, a team that has relatively few, you know, apparent obvious holes in it. Sooner or later, you need your kicker to make clutch kicks. You need your kicker to make that last, you know, that last second kick from 48 yards. And we ain't got that guy. And so I'm advocating for the Vikings to do what it takes to go firm up kicker in a season that's very promising. This is the best start for this team since Brett Favre was here in 2009.
No.
I don't want it all going down the drain on some dumbass kicker.
You know, most famously, had one of the most accurate kickers in league history, Gary Anderson, who missed the biggest kick in recent memory, the kick that would have sent the Vikes to the Super Bowl with Randy fucking Moss.
And that would be the NFC Championship game in 1998. And no, I'm not over it. And yes, I was in the building, and it's the most heartbreaking loss for me in the history of my sports fandom.
No doubt about it. And then there was the Blair Witch Project, otherwise known as Blair Walsh, who gacked a game winner from about 19 yards inside the 10 almost.
Correct.
In freezing cold outdoor weather when you were building the new stadium. And that was in the first round game against the Seahawks, the Legion of
Boom.
That's
right.
Team.
And the Seahawks went on to the Super Bowl that year. And that was an elite Vikings defense that had every opportunity to go on a long playoff run and went belly up from our dumbass.
Has there ever been a deadline deal for a kicker in the NFL? A deadline deal for a kicker? I can't remember
one. I don't think so. But I would do one. I would do it for sure. Now, to tell you how tortured we are on our kicker situation, not to go too deep in a Vikings kicker, because who the hell cares? But this team blew a fourth-round pick on a kicker 3 years ago named Daniel Carlson. And then he went out and had a shaky week one. And then in week two, the Vikings were at the Packers. And he had a bad game against the Packers, including missing what would have been, I think, 2 different game-winning opportunities. So we cut him, Daniel Carlson. The Raiders picked him up, and he has since been literally the best kicker in the NFL.
Right. Absolute stud. 6'5" out of Auburn. Daniel Wilhelm Carlson. That's why you got to have GMs that say, okay, listen, we're not going to freak out. This guy can really womp it. He's a great kicker. He's going to sort it out. We're not throwing him away. And by the way, got a 4th-round pick invested. So calm the fuck down, everybody. If you have to bring in somebody, tell Carlson, look, we're going to give you a hamstring injury. Just fucking go with it, all right? Just stay out a couple weeks. We got this veteran slappy in here. And we're going to bring you back. We're not going to do anything rash. Well,
and they could have done that, but teams never keep two kickers or whatever. So we've been tortured by kickers here.
You IR them then. IR them then. Just keep them. You got to know who can fucking kick and who can't kick by the nature of their size, their mental makeup, their leg, the way it flies, and everything else. By the way, have you ever stood next to and watched a 50-plus yard field goal in person?
No, you know, I don't think I have. Like, okay. At field level, you mean?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. So basically, a couple years ago, 5 years ago almost now, at 980 in DC, we held a really cool event, an adult punt, pass, and kick that was co-sponsored by the Redskins themselves. So they let us use their practice bubble. And cool. So a select number of people that signed up got to come in and run around and try to kick a field goal. And there mm-hmm. was, of course, you know, 90% of the people could barely get above the bar height. Few people were okay, but then there was a couple of ex-soccer players that played in college that knew how to kick.
Yeah.
And one of these guys was booting 50-yarders. Let me tell you, you see a 50-yarder, you hear a 50-yarder from an amateur slap who played Division III soccer at Bowdoin.
Right?
And it looks like the most magnificent thing. It goes boom, and it flies, and it flies, and you're like, fuck.
Damn.
And imagine a pro kicker and one of the better pro kickers with a monster leg who's a 6'5 athlete like a Carlson or like a who's the guy in Kansas City who's a big dude who can
walk. Harrison Butker.
Butker, exactly. Or, of course, the GOAT of kickers, the great Justin Tucker. You watch them kick at field level, it would make you fucking just drop your jaw, I'm sure. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, cut four today, or topic four, clumps of NFL teams. Normally I do tears of a clown, but I've decided to clump teams.
Okay.
Because I got clumps, and you tell me if these clumps are named correctly and if you disagree with them. I've got the elite clump. I've got the fraud clump. I got the write-off clump. I got the you can have them clump. I got the not going to doubt them clump. I got the balls of confusion clump. The irrational hope clump. And the disgusting clump.
That's a lot of clumps. That's a lot of clumpage right
well,
there.
Well, it's like the bag of candy after Halloween. I've sorted them all out into piles. All right? Here we go.
All right.
The elite three are obvious. Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City. I'll rank the three as I see them in the elite three, and I'd rank Buffalo 1, Chiefs 2, Eagles 3.
I think you're not giving the Eagles enough respect in their defense. They got the best defense out of those three teams. I would go Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City.
Okay, and the fraud clump, I got the 5-2 Jets, the 6-2 Giants, and the 6-1 Vikings. And that's my fraud clump right there. What? What? How dare you? Now listen, I think you guys have a good team. I'm a huge Kirk fan. Another touchdown game for him. That's 36 in a row. Current longest streak in the NFL.
37. Thank you very much. He is now past Brett Favre's previous streak. He was at 36, I believe.
And so, ran for a touchdown. Improbably.
Yeah, he did.
Unbelievable. Yes. I'm very pro Kirk, but I'm obligated as a Packer fan now to be anti-Viking. That said, do you think the team is legit good?
Good. Okay. That's it. That is the adjective I would use.
Good, but not legit good. They're good, not, trending to legit. Good.
Are they as good as they are? They as good as their record? No.
Okay. My write-offs include the 3-5 Packers, the 3-5 Cardinals, the 3-4 Rams, and the 3-5 Saints, despite their shutout of Las Vegas last week. I'm sorry.
Now, write-offs, but, what constitutes a write-off? That's I'm done with these teams. The season's over. You've written them off.
Well, just like the classic line in Seinfeld, what do you mean write-off, Jerry? or Kramer? Well, they're the ones writing them off. Write-offs have to be teams that were assumed or thought or hoped to be really good and just are not going to make it to really good. The Packers are not going to make it to really good. Arizona's not going to make it to really good. Same thing for the Rams. I believe the same thing for the New Orleans Saints with Andy fucking Dalton at quarterback.
Give me the have the guts to put Tampa Bay at 3-5 into that category.
I could do that. I could write them off, even though their division is so awful. You want me to write them off?
Yeah, write them off. That offense, the offense is so broken right now. Brady looks distracted and disinterested, and the defense isn't what it used to be. They used to survive on an elite run defense. It's a middle of the pack run defense now. This is who they are. And their only hope of scratching their way into the playoffs is because they're in the worst division in football by a mile.
Do you believe they could have a post-divorce surge?
I did.
Well, of course. most men do. Many women do, too, as well. But anyway, all right, how about the you can have them clump? Meaning, yeah, you can have them. 4-4 New England. Nah, you can have them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 4-3 Chargers. You can have them.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And 2-6 Carolina, you can have them, even though they're a nice story.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to doubt them group, where I'm like, I can see people clawing at them saying they don't do this, they don't do that. But I think they're legit. So I'm not going to shade them. 4-4 San Francisco. 6-2 Dallas, 5-2 Tennessee, 5-3 Baltimore, and 5-3 Miami. I'm not going to shade those teams.
No, Miami's fascinating, aren't they? Oh, you know, defense isn't great, but you've got this. You've got an offense that is running at a very, very high level.
Do you want to shade any of those teams in there?
Zip through the list one more time. San I got distracted Fran. Because the Vikings just made a huge trade.
Whoa! What? Breaking news. Let's hear it.
Breaking news as it's happening. It's new to us. Then the last 5 minutes, the Vikings have acquired former first round pick TJ Hockenson from the Detroit Lions. Wow. He was, I think, the sixth player taken in that draft
three years ago. TJ Hockenson.
Yes, and I know for a fact that front office loved him at the draft that year, and that's a huge move for a team that has struggled at this position. Yeah. That's a going for the playoffs move right there.
Wow, what do they give up to get him?
They are giving up a second rounder next year, a fourth rounder the year after that, and a fourth rounder next year as well.
Wow.
So meanwhile, two second rounders.
Meanwhile, as we are approaching 3 hours from the trade deadline, here's what's happening at 1265 Lombardi in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Right now, live looking. I know the Packers are cap strapped, but there's always creative ways. Telling to me, Charge, was when LaFleur said yesterday, you know, we're always in discussions about players, but we're not going to make any silly trades. And I said, the fuck does that mean? It's silly. Like, it's a trade. Yeah, what do you mean silly?
Like,
just
what
a fucking,
what does silly even mean?
Why do you have to say silly? And you know what it belies, Church? And as a Viking fan, you'll probably be like, amen. It belies an arrogance of aristocracy with the Green Bay Packers, where they're like, we're not going to do silly trades. We draft and we develop and we win because we're better than everybody else. That's what I took from that word silly.
Yeah, that, you know, that's just managing expectations right there. No GM has ever made a trade and went, oh, we're just doing it to be silly.
Dang, I kind of got carried away there. What was I thinking?
Had a few drinks over lunch, came back and traded a first-round pick for a wide receiver. Yeah.
You know, it's like, and if some fans are saying one player is not going to save the season. I'm like, what the fuck thinking is that? Like, not saying it'll save, but it could help. You know,
it can help a lot.
There are examples left and right of that one player. You're like, okay, this guy really helped. Fucking Rams got Odell Beckham Jr. last year.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that helped.
Okay. It helped a ton.
Yeah, yes. It did. All right. My balls of confusion.
Balls of confusion. So these are teams in which you are confused or they are confused about their identity. Explain what that means.
I'm not ready to write them off.
Okay.
But they put out wildly different looking efforts every week. And that would be 4-4 Cincinnati and 3-5 Denver. Maybe I'm delusional. Maybe I'm drinking the nano bubble water from Russell Wilson. I just believe if Russell can get two clicks better, if he's playing as a 4 right now on a scale of 1 to 10, which may be generous,
that might be generous, but that's about right.
Okay.
And that's
so if he was at his best, if he was an 8, right? Cause he's not a 9 or a 10 like Brady or Rodgers. If he was at best an 8, if he's now at a 4, if he can go click, click to a 6, I think Denver with that defense can still be heard from. So I'm putting you in the ball of confusion. Maybe I'm crazy.
I think you're the only reason you're not crazy is the pass defense is awesome.
It really is.
So good.
The no fly zone still enforced.
Yep. Get this. Last 5 games, they've given up 1 passing touchdown. Think about that. It's staggering in today's NFL.
That is crazy. Okay, my irrational hope clump. 2-6 Jacksonville, who I think they're the king of not as bad as their record. 2-6 Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
3-5 Cleveland. Irrational hope fueled especially by last night's beatdown win. 4-4 Washington, riding a 3-game wave of irrational hope in Taylor Heinicke.
Well, and the huge revenge. We have a dual revenge game for Washington this week. Kirk goes back to Washington. Taylor Heinicke comes back to Minnesota, where he started his career. Double revenge game.
Wow. Wait, Kirk can't go back to Washington, and Heinicke can't go back to Minnesota at the same week.
Well, he's playing Minnesota.
Okay.
You're right. Hold on a second. Yes, you are correct.
All right.
You
are correct. This is not Kirk's first return to D.C., is it? I'd have to look that up. All right. I'm also putting a division leader in the irrational hope category. They are the 4-4 Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons. Has to be the Falcons. The team that never saw a pass that they liked or a run they didn't love. That is a weird, weird team, Zabe. They're bad. They're bad at basically everything. I mean, they're a bad run defense. They're a bad pass defense. They never throw the ball, so the pass offense is terrible and ranks at the bottom. And then how are they running? They're running with Tyler Algier. Cordero Patterson's hurt. I mean, you know, Chet Huntley. It's amazing that the Falcons have managed to stagger their way to 4-4. They got obviously a huge, huge break. Carolina should have won last week, right, which would have vaulted them into first place. But still, it's unbelievable that team is sitting atop their division at this stage.
And then finally, the disgusting 6. Disgusting teams. 2-6 Pittsburgh. Disgusting. 3-4-1 Indianapolis. Yeah. Blowing leads. Poor Jonathan Taylor is killing fantasy leagues left and right.
An assassin for your fantasy team.
And the owner is meddling in the quarterback situation. Disgusting team. 2-5 Vegas is now disgusting. To get shut out.
They are.
It's disgusting. 1-5-1 Houston. Disgusting.
Yes.
3-5 Chicago is disgusting. Even though they've won 3 games. And 1-6 Detroit now, especially trading T.J. Hockenson. Disgusting. Any complaints?
I can't argue with much of that. The only one I'll give you pushback on is Chicago. Justin Fields playing noticeably better, and they've invested all these draft picks into a young secondary that, up until last week when they got rocked by Dak Prescott, had played very well. Chicago I think Chicago is going to find its way into being a team that's alive for the playoffs in December. I'm not going to call them a playoff team. I think if one team out of that group is going to scrabble its way back into contention, Chicago Bears.
Okay. 2 dog stories, then we're done. Right. They're not the most awe, warm, and fuzzy, but I know you're a dog owner. You got to have some thoughts on this. Dog story number 1 is family turns beloved dead golden retriever into rug.
What?
Oh, yeah, there's a picture of it. Oh. Yeah, it's like a bear. Like a bear you shot in the woods. You turned Fido into a throw rug. Fair or foul? Man.
Oh, totally foul. You're like, okay, I love this dog so much. I need to walk on him in the grave. Walk on his grave. Walking on your dog.
Imagine putting your dog's furry skin on your lap and just petting it, thinking, yes, this used to be a lovable creature that I had a bond with. Oh, God. No, don't do that. It was in Australia, so don't do that.
Now, is it weird? Let me ask this. If we're talking about pets in the grave, is it weird to keep some of your pet's DNA for someday when it becomes presumably affordable to clone your pet and bring your dog back some years later? Weird or not weird?
That's weird. I know it's a thing because they want to clone the DNA and they'll think, oh, look, he's just like Fido was because he's got his DNA. Yeah, okay. They're all dogs. You know, they have very simple brains, okay? They respond to the same basic sets of stimuli, but God bless them. Okay, and then there's this one. In Mexico, a dog was spotted running through the streets of Zacatecas with a severed head in its mouth. Yeah, cartels down there. So they say that the police investigating this crime, of course, they're not going to get to the bottom of it. It's cartels.
Yeah, no.
They said they had to pry the head from the hungry dog's mouth. You know how dogs can be with a tennis ball or a dead bird or a squirrel. Imagine them with the mother of all finds. Wow. A severed human head.
You're just like pumping gas, and here comes a dog trotting down the center of the street with a head in its mouth.
Hey there, Rover, what do you got? Oh my God!
Oh God! Oh. Oh God.
All right, Charge, it's going to be a big day for you boys on radio in Minnesota. I'll let you get to it.
It's going to be fun.
As always, guillotineleagues.com. Guillotineleagues.com. We'll talk next week, Charge. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. In the field, we're a band now. That's a wrap for today. How about that? Trade deadline, kapow-pow, in Minnesota. Take on to the great white north. Take on. Rate and review. Spread the word. Helps with the algorithm. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. And, of course, if you want more of me, Fridays, jump on in. $5 a month. I know. I'm killing you, right? Get 12 months for the price of 11 if you sign up for a whole year. Otherwise, go month to month, cancel anytime, and we will see you next time.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums.
Oh, get out.
It is not your life.
So.
Stop
lying,
will you?
Take off, man.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.